We're in Luke chapter 8, by the way. I only have two graphics. And I think this is the order I want them in. We're going to begin in verse 26 of Luke chapter 8. And we had divided this in about six different sections. But each one of the sections in this chapter seemed to be talking about the ministry of the Lord in a, like an enhanced way, in a greater way. Everything seems bigger. Starting out from the very first verse, every city and every village that he's traveling in. And then the last one we studied there was the disciples who were in the ship and the storm came and he calmed the sea. And they said, "What manner of man is this?" Yeah, as if they've seen him do many miracles, but all of a sudden now they realize, hey, he can calm the wind and the waves. And so everything just seems to be greater. And what we're going to see here is him dealing with, it's called the maniac of Gadara, or the Gadarenes. And he's going to heal a man that's possessed with multiple devils. And so another ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in a grander scale, as we've been noticing all the way through. Let me read we're actually going to study, and we have to, verses 26 through 39. But I don't want to read all that first, so just so that we get a little bit of understanding of what we're going to introduce at the beginning, let me read verses 26 through 29. It says, "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness." Now that's enough just to kind of introduce what I want to introduce to you is when we look at this, first of all, we're going to study 26 through 39, those verses, three different ways to get everything understood, at least the historical part. We're first going to go through it and look at it historically, just the events, what had happened here, and pick up some details as we go. Then we're going to go back through the same verses and look again at the spiritual lesson that's there for the nation of Israel. Everything in your Bible, every miracle Jesus Christ did, there is a spiritual lesson behind it. And so not only is there going to be a healing of this man, but there's multiple lessons for the nation of Israel in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then when we're done doing that, we're going to go back through it again, but this time we're going to study what's always fascinating to us is devils. We call them demons. You realize the Bible, King James calls them devils or unclean spirits. Another place, evil spirits. And so we'll learn there's a lot of details in this passage where you can learn a lot about them. So we'll take the time to go back and pick up those. You'll pick up some as we go along, but we'll look at it at the end. We'll go back and look at it and make sure that we add to just more than just a historical event and statements about devils. So first of all, when we start in the first section of this, when we start going through this, and when I said we're going to go through it three different ways, the first way, the historical way to look at it, I outlined it, and that's the outline as I started looking at how we want to cover it. I realized that when you start out and you're looking at verses 26 and 27, we're introduced to the man, a certain man, it says. And then he's the guy that's possessed. And then when you get to verses 28 through 31, then you're introduced to the devils that are in this man. And there's multiple devils in him. Then you are given the attention of what happens to the swine when the devils enter into the swine. And that's in verses 32 and 33. Then Then the narrative goes to those that fed the swine, and the people of that city come out and see what had just taken place. So the narrative goes to the men that fed the swine and the people of that place. And that's just verse 34 through 37. And that takes us back to the man in verses 38 and 39. Now he's free from possession. You realize I wrote it that way because when I first outlined it, I go, oh, that is either an introversion, I think that's the right term, or an alternation. And if you ever had the opportunity to look at Bullinger's Companion Bible, every chapter of the Bible, he outlines in all kinds of different ways. These are actually ways of outlining, and they're given names. And sometimes they're introversions, sometimes they're alternations. And he goes through the whole Bible and realizes they do this. Well, I accidentally realized, hey, I just did that. So I put it up there so that you could see what I'm talking about. You start out with the man, and then you go to the devils, then you go to swine. So it's A, B, C, and then we're back to B and A. And the reason I did that is there is a correlation between the devils and the people who fed the swine and the people of that place. And you're gonna see that correlation as we go through that. And so that will outline the chapter, and that's how we're going to look at it historically. And then we started out with the man, and we end with the man. And so we'll start looking at it that way. So back to verse 26. It says, and they arrived at a country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. Now I do have a map. I don't know if you can see it too well there. But there is a place, and this map doesn't show it, and I didn't put it in there, but on the southeast corner of the Sea of Galilee, right down in here, is a city called Gadara. And that's the people of that land are the Gadarenes. And so that's the place. He was over here, and he crossed the Sea of Galilee. We saw the storm and all of that. And now they're arriving at land, and they're in that city of Gadara? I could say it before. Anyhow, and so it's the land of the Gadarenes, and so that's where he's at. Now, when he lands in that land, verse 27 says, and he went forth to the land. There met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils, and notice that that's plural, long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in tombs. So you realize that this certain man that showed up, he's possessed with devils, plural, and he's kind of insane in the sense of the other places. He's been labeled the maniac of Gadara. And so, he's maniac in the sense of the way he behaves, and we're given a little bit of detail of what that behavior is. He's naked, runs around without clothes on. He doesn't live in any house. So he actually just runs around, lives in the tombs, and in the mountains, another place says. So that's how he spends his time. But not only does he spend his time that way, if you look again at verse 27, it says, and he went forth, and when he, the Lord Jesus Christ, went forth to land, there met him out of the city. So the people in the city know this man quite well, because he might not have a house, and he might run around in the tombs and all, but he does come into the city, because he came out of that city to meet the Lord Jesus Christ and cry unto him. So my point is to realize that he is connected to that city, and so the people of that city are very familiar with this man. It's not the first time they've met him or anything. So then we pick up in verse 28 talking about the devils. Verse 28 says, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. So if you read that, you realize, now first of all, in Matthew and in Luke, we're reading these term devils. If you read it in Mark chapter 5 and verse 2, They all cover the same event. But in Mark 5, 2, it says this. If you're fast, you can get there. Otherwise, you just listen. It says, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. So what's called devils in Matthew and Luke, they're called unclean spirits in Mark. And by the way, in Luke, if you look at verse 29, chapter 8, verse 29, it says, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out. So devils and unclean spirits, that's synonymously used back and forth, I mean, right in the same chapter. The reason I say that, there is those who believe that devils and unclean spirits are not the same spiritual beings. There's two different spiritual beings. And they have a real interesting thought of who they think the unclean spirits are. I won't go into that because I believe just showing that they're used interchangeably, that they're not two different beings. They're the same being. There's another place where they're called evil spirits, and that's later in Peter. But here in the gospel accounts, they're called devils or unclean spirits.
Is there any significance in 29? It says, it's saying devils, and then 29 commanded the unclean spirits singular. Is there any significance?
Well, no, because when we finish reading that same verse, you'll find out they act as one. For instance, back to the verse that we're looking at, verse 28. It says, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with loud voice said.
So this
is the man who saw Jesus, ran down and fell down before him. But the one crying out of him is not the man. What came out of him with a loud voice is, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. And that's not the man asking that question. It's going to be explained in verse 29, who's asking that question and why they're asking that question. And it's going to be a they, so that those spirits act in unison as one, speaking as if they're all one, but they're multiple demons in them, devils in them, but they're speaking as one. And they're the ones who are asking about and beseeching the Lord not to torment them. And so it's the man who falls down, but that man is under their control. And when they cry out, it's them, those devils, that are crying out. Now, before I even go to verse 29, notice those devils know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. They immediately addressed him. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? So they know that Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but they give him that title Most High. And hopefully you can recall Isaiah chapter 14, where he's cast down to hell, they're going to ask him, didn't you say you were going to do these things? And he had a five-fold plan. I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation of the sides of the north. I will ascend above the clouds. Last of all, I will be like the Most High. Satan wanted to replace God as the Most High God. And that's what Abraham, in meeting Melchizedek, he's a priest of the Most High God. The Lord Jesus Christ is above everybody. And here, the Lord Jesus Christ, they're addressing him, the Son of God Most High. And so they're addressing him with that Most High. That it's funny that devils are acknowledging who really is the Most High, even though the devil wants to be that Most High. And but they, like I said, they know who Jesus Christ is. And with that, they know they're faced with torment, that Jesus Christ is going to be their judge. And that's why I beseech thee, torment me not. And when we start studying that in more detail, you realize they know something about the timing of their torment as well. But in verse 29, notice it's in a parenthesis, and it said, for he had commanded the unclean spirits to come out. The word for, he's explaining why they're crying what they're crying in verse 28. So that's why I know who's crying is the unclean spirits, not the man. And the reason they're crying that is because he had already commanded the unclean spirits to come out. of the man. And then here's what the unclean spirits did inside that man. For oftentimes it had caught him. And that's interesting. There's that singular again. It had caught him. The it is the unclean spirit that's in him. That's either like singular yet plural. And it oftentimes, it had caught him. And then the rest of it seems to be that when it takes control of him, the people try to control him. So it says, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. So it's not the demons that put him in chains and fetters. Fetters are shackles. The people would catch this man, and they oftentimes tried to control him. I think one of the other gospel accounts says tame him, and they couldn't do it because he was able to break the chains and the shackles, and now that he's free, he's driven by the devil back out into the wilderness. And so anyhow, those devils are in him, and verse 29 is explaining why it is that those devils in verse 28 are asking the Lord not to torment him, because he just commanded them to be come out of that man. Now in verse 30 it says, and Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? Now he's talking to the devil in him. There's a singular again. Jesus asked him, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. So that's how they act as one, but they're not just one. There's a lot of the information just about devils when you think about that. But Legion, when he calls himself Legion, a legion, I've looked it up because at one time I came up with 2,000. Haley's handbook says 3,000 to 6,000. The Bible encyclopedia I have says a legion is like a Roman military group that's numbers up to 6,000. So 6,000 demons, devils, in this one guy. And so they take the name Legion because they're 6,000. So they're in that man. Hold the place here, though. I want to show you something. Come over to Matthew chapter 26. You'll recall what this verse is when I read it. Verse 53. The Lord Jesus telling Peter, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? 6 times 12, what's that? 72,000 angels could be called. If the Lord wanted to come, not go to that cross, he could have asked the Father, and he would send him 12 legions of angels. But the reason I read you that verse, just like those, that legion of devils that are inside that man, whether they're holy angels or unclean spirits, devils, they're all subject to the Lord Jesus Christ. He could have called holy angels. That would have been the ones that would come and protect him, that the Father would send. But here are these legions. They're afraid of the Lord Jesus Christ and know that they're going to be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're in this man, and causing him all kinds of problems. So back to Luke 8 and verse 31. So when the Lord asked the name, and they said who they are, it says, and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. Now again, that's something we're going to study more when we get to that last section and look at the more about devils and the things that this points out. But for now, if they ask the Lord in verse 28, I beseech thee, torment me not, they know that their ultimate torment is in the deep. And they don't want to go into the deep. And so they're beseeching the Lord that he would not send them, command them to go into the deep. So that's the narrative, the introduction to the devils that are in this man. Now in verse 32, we start learning about the swine, because it's going to be a deal made here. In verse 32 it says, and there was there a herd of many swine feeding in the mountains, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Now that means allowed. So these devils are asking, there's a bunch of swine feeding in the mountains, and they're asking if they could go into the swine. Notice, they can only do what the Lord allows them to do. They asked permission, and the Lord gave them permission to go into the swine. Verse 33, and when the devils, then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. That's interesting, you know, you talk about possession and they're leaving, but they enter into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake, which would be Galilee, and were choked. So they enter in the swine, and then the swine go and commit suicide. So, but the point is a bunch of swine there. Now, I want to stop and just, when we get to the spiritual lesson, think about this. Ask yourself, why is there a herd of swine feeding in the mountains? And how big was that herd of swine? 6,000? So whatever that legion is, you know, was there enough to accommodate all the legion, all the devils that were in that man? But the Lord allowed him to enter, and so he comes out of the man into the swine, and the devils drove the pigs, if we call them, off the cliff and into the lake, killing the whole herd. So the whole herd's dead. Now that takes us to verse 34, where there's people feeding the swine. Yep, when we get to the spiritual lessons. I'm glad you're with me.
Is there anything with... Sorry, I keep it... they don't want to go into the deep. He allows them to go into the swine, and then they ran into the deep. Is that...
When next week. When we start talking about what is the deep, what are they relating to, I think we get an idea what that is. But there's questions. There'll be two. I'll propose them even as we go, but... Anyhow, let's just, the people of the land. Well, first there's those that are fed them, because you just, when you read verses 32 and 33, you think they're just wild pigs in the mountains, but they're not wild pigs. Verse 34, it says, when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. So it affected not just the city, it's amazing, it had effect upon the whole country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Then it said, they also which saw it told them by what means that it was, that he that was possessed of the devils was healed. So they come out and they see the man who was a maniac that they could never tame, couldn't even chain him in place, sitting in his right mind, clothed with clothes on, first time they've seen him with clothes on. But then the people who fed the swine explained to the people who came out of the city why it is that this man's sitting here like this. That he's been healed, that the Lord Jesus Christ cast the devils out of him. And so the people there are being brought up to what just took place. Matthew chapter 15. Because if we're going to talk about the people of that place, even the people who fed them, who are we talking about? Well, Matthew chapter 15, and this is the incident where a person comes out of Tyre, and a Syrophoenician woman, and wants healing for her daughter. And it says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. So he's going to the northern part of Galilee, to where Tyre, or actually the eastern part, where Tyre and Sidon is, northeastern. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, the people that are coming out to see the Lord Jesus Christ in the city of Gadara, the Gadarenes, the people, the men who fed the swine, and the people coming out of that city, if the Lord Jesus Christ is only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, I think we can see clearly that these are Jewish people who are coming out to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that the Lord, in his earthly ministry, came only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And even this woman, it goes on to say that the Lord eventually, he said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she agreed. She realized she's a Gentile. She has no right to the blessings of the nation of Israel until after Israel's first blessed. My point to you is just to point out to you that if we talk about the people who fed the swine and the people coming out of the city and that country, we need to realize that these are Jews. And these were Jews that are feeding swine and coming out of the city. Well, that takes us to what Rich was just saying. Leviticus chapter 11.
That's why Jesus didn't feel bad wasting that guy's herd of 6,000 pigs.
Yeah, well, yeah, right. I didn't think about how the Lord felt about it, but but it does seem like, yeah, they just, well, no, it's part of the spiritual lesson, what they're, how that's going to affect. Let me get this part. Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 4. And I'm just reminding you the dietary law of the nation of Israel. Leviticus 11 verse 4 says, Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat, of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof, as the camel, because it cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. So it's going through a list of animals. You get to verse 7, the swine, though he divideth the hoof, and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud. He is unclean unto you. Of their flesh ye shall not eat, and of their carcass ye shall not touch. They are unclean unto you. So the Jewish people, we all know that they're not allowed to eat pork. They're not allowed to eat swine. And they're not even allowed to touch the swine, because the swine are unclean to them. And yet, here's a bunch of Jewish people feeding a herd of swine. And so the question be, why would a group of Jews and the people of that city be so much for herding and raising swine? Because it's a lucrative business. Who eats swine? Gentiles. And they can make a lot of money raising those hogs and selling them to the Gentiles for the Gentiles' consumption, because they know they can't eat that, and they probably aren't eating them, they're probably selling them. And so they had a real good business going. So the people that city and that country even saw that the man was sitting, clothed, in his right mind, and now they're afraid? You know, if the man came out of the city in the first place, weren't they always afraid of that man? I would have been afraid of that man, as crazy as he is, the way he's living, the actions he's doing. But now they're afraid. But what they're afraid of is the Lord Jesus Christ in here, because the man is healed and he's no one to be afraid of. And so they're fearing the wrong thing, or the wrong person. They ought to be fearing the Lord in a respectful way. But here they realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is one who just took away their finances. And so they're afraid. Verse 37, it says, Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. So when they see him, they see the man who's healed. They get afraid, but they're not afraid of the man. They're actually afraid of the Lord being in their presence, and Rick actually, as I just said, took away their finances, and they actually asked the Lord to leave. They'd rather have the pigs than the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I said, when we're studying this, we're realizing there is within the nation of Israel, like when we get into the next chapter, you're going to see more positive results or people following the Lord. But here we keep seeing mixed, where some people are following the Lord and some aren't. And here they actually asked the Lord to leave. And they chose the devils over the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord is, you know, he doesn't say anything to them at all. The Bible just says that he went into a ship and returned back again. The Lord doesn't stay where he's not wanted. The Lord doesn't force himself upon anybody. They wanted him to leave, so he's going to leave. Now, before he left, we end up in verse 38 and 39, back to the man again. And so in verse 38, it says, now, before the Lord returned back, as verse 37 ended, this took place. Verse 38. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying. So just the fact he sent him away, you realize the Lord, the man wants to travel with the Lord. He don't want to be in that country anymore. But the Lord says, no, you don't travel with me. And here's what the Lord said to him, verse 39. Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. So the Lord didn't want him to go with him. He actually told him to stay. But in his staying, he is to go and tell everybody in that country what great things the Lord had done for him. A couple things. When it says, return unto thine own house, well, you realize the man didn't have a house. He didn't live in houses. He lived in the tombs. So when it says return to thine own house, we're not talking about a building house. We're talking about his household. He has family members. He's got some kind of relatives. So he's going to go back into the city and he's going to return to thine house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. So he sent back to be a witness of the great things that God has done for him. I like the idea that it says show, because you don't have to explain anything. Those people came and saw this maniac clothed, sitting with the Lord, not running around, and in his right mind. This guy, all he's got to do is walk back in that city, and he's going to show what great things God has done for him. And that really, the whole thing here, the very fact that the Lord tells him, no, don't go with me, go back to the city and show the great things God has done for thee. That is really, when you think about us being saved, why didn't God just take us to heaven as soon as we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior? No, he says, stay and go show what great things God has done for you. And the man didn't just show. Notice it says, and he went his way and published. So the man didn't just wait for people to ask him a question like, warrior, how come you changed? He went out and published the things. He let them know. And that's exactly what we ought to be doing with our life as well, is letting them know the great things God has done for us. And what has he done for us? He saved us from our sins. He saved us from hell. He gave us the gift of eternal life. He gave us the life of his Son in us. We can finally be in our right mind, right? Because without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not in your right mind. So he goes back to those places and publishes throughout those places. So he did exactly what the Lord told him to do. Now, when you read it in Mark, we don't have to go there. Mark chapter 5 and verse 20. The reason I left the map up here. Mark 5:20 says, not only did he go back to his own country, so there's the city up here, but Mark 5:20 says he went throughout Decapolis declaring what things God has done for him. So he didn't just go back to the city, he covered the whole countryside of Decapolis there and telling the people what things. So it was really good that the Lord left him there to publish that. But the other thing I wanted you to see before we go, the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 39 says, he tells him to go show how great things God hath done for thee. And so what did the man do? Finish the verse. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Did he forget to give God the credit? Or just like those demons, those devils know who Jesus Christ is? Jesus Christ, there's a verse about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, when you read this passage in Mark, it's interesting because you got here, God had done great things for him, and so he published what great things Jesus had done for him. When you read it in Mark, it's the Lord said, where Jesus Christ said to him, go tell the people what great things the Lord had done for thee. And he went out and told what great things the Lord Jesus did for him. He's calling what Jesus did for him. So he's recognizing Jesus Christ as Lord, Lord of the Old Testament, God the Father. So just another reference there in your Bible of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's the historical. So with a little bit of time that we have left, I want to cover looking at the same situation, and perhaps we not too many verses again here, but other verses that we might think about. One of the things that's important is to understand that Jesus Christ is preaching the gospel of the kingdom. We keep saying that. Most people don't know there's a difference between the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of the grace of God. We're talking about that on Sunday. We talk about it all the time here at Grace Bible Church. But the good news of the kingdom is the good news that Jesus Christ has come to establish a kingdom. And when Jesus Christ establishes kingdom, come over to Matthew chapter 12. Let me show you something. Interesting. This is the passage where the Pharisees, he does a miracle, and they got to get people to stop following him. So they declare in verse 24. They says, and when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. So they're actually claiming Jesus Christ to be a devil, to stop the nation of Israel from following him and believing that he is the Messiah, the King of Israel. But in the Lord's answer to them, he says over in verse 27, he says, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. The Lord Jesus Christ is casting out devils because he's going to bring his kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, onto this earth. And associated with the message of the gospel of the kingdom is casting out devils. In fact, Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13. It begins in verse 1 by saying, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Now this is about the Lord coming back in his second coming. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the name of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. So the Lord Jesus Christ has come to earth and he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom and he's casting out devils. And if he casts out devils, then the kingdom of God has come unto them. He is the king who is establishing God's kingdom here on earth. And in that, there is not going to be any unclean spirits. They're going to be cast out of the earth. Now what's invisible to man, but certainly visible to the eye of faith when we read the gospel accounts. But you think, you know, we have a benefit over the people who follow Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. They got to see the miracles and all that he did, so naturally we want to see all that. But we have a more insight to what's really taking place. There are invisible things that are happening in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's invisible to man in the earth, in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the spiritual battle that's going on between Satan and the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a battle for that land, and that battle will ultimately resume and culminate and conclude in the tribulation. Remember, if the kingdom of heaven's at hand, the tribulation's not far away. And the little bit you might know about the tribulation, you know Satan is going to be cast out of heaven down to the earth, and there's going to be a great battle on this earth between Jesus Christ and the Antichrist, who is controlled by Satan, over this earth. And that's what's happening in the gospel accounts. When you start thinking about, why is there so much demon possession in the nation of Israel? There's a spiritual battle going on there for the land of Israel. God chose that land as his land, and Jerusalem is going to be the capital, but even the whole nation of Israel are going to be his witness to the nations of the world. So the focus, that you don't see, like when you read Paul's epistles, we wrestle with principalities and powers in high places. Well, these devils aren't in high places. They're down here on the earth. And they're influencing a whole part of the nation of Israel against the Lord Jesus Christ, because they don't want him to establish that kingdom here on earth. There's a spiritual battle going on, and the forces of Satan are down here on the earth battling for the earth. When God formed the body of Christ for us to be seated with Christ in heavenly places, all of a sudden there's a retreat, and our battle is in the heavenly places. We don't wrestle men on earth. We don't wrestle even the principalities and powers on earth. Principalities in high places we wrestle. So anyhow, that's what's really taking place here with these devils and the hogs, the swine, and the people of that land asking the Lord to leave. There's a spiritual warfare between the Lord Jesus Christ and Satan over that land, the nation of Israel, and Jesus Christ coming to set up the kingdom. Not only were the devils allowed to enter into the swine, but they were allowed to stay in the country. I want to show you this, because it's going to, I'll close with the next question. Come over to Mark chapter 5. Well, I'm in Matthew. Mark chapter 5. In verse 10, here's what's said, picked up in addition to what's been said in Luke. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. So we know they don't want to go into the deep. And it says, now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. So they're going to go into the swine. But here their question is, the other one is, they didn't want to go into the deep, but here they don't want to be sent away out of the country. So think about that. They enter into the swine. The swine run down, jump off a cliff and down into the water, and it says they choke. Did the spirits choke? The spirits need air? No, the swine choked. The swine died. They lost their fortune, those people feeding them. But the spirits, where did they go? Well, when the Lord allowed them to enter into the swine, they are actually asking, don't make us leave the country. So did they go back? The people out of that country came and asked the Lord to leave. Who stayed behind? Come over to Matthew 12. We were just there. I should have told you to save it. Now I'm going to give you another idea next week about what happened to the swine, but for now, this is interesting because it's really a question. They go into the swine, and the swine choke and die. What happened to the spirits? Well, in chapter 12, in verse 43 of Matthew, when an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Then he saith, I will return unto the house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. So that's people who've had devils cast out of them. The devil goes somewhere. Eventually he comes back to see if he can go back to his old house. Finds it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. Talk about details. They're all, there's degrees of wickedness among the devils. Taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last estate of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Ooh. The Lord's there casting out devils, but some people still haven't made up their mind if they're going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Here he cast devils out of that man. Now that man knows who the Lord Jesus Christ is, but the people of that country, they don't want the Lord there. They would rather have the swine. They'd rather have pigs. But what they're going to get is the spirits that had left. They're going to come back to dry places and try to find places where to go. And these people, it's going to be worse for them at the end than it was at the beginning for them. So anyhow, that's just one possibility of what happened to the swine. There's some more spiritual lessons that I haven't finished yet, but when I finish them next week, then we're going to go through and talk about some details about devils and the activities of devils and what the Bible informs us concerning some of these things that we've read with a little bit more insight with other passages. So we'll stop there for the day and pick it up next week. And certainly with that, we want to close with prayer. Our God and our Father, we thank you for saving our soul. We thank you for interrupting your dealings with the nation of Israel and us Gentiles that would have, well, we're already worshiping idols, already in the hands of Satan, have the opportunity to believe the gospel and be saved today. And any Jewish person that would realize that Jesus Christ is indeed the Savior and he equally died for their sins can be saved by your grace today by taking their place just as a common everyday sinner like a Gentile. But Lord, not only do you save us from our sins, but you sealed us with your Holy Spirit. So Father, we thank you that in our dwelling, in our very bodies, your Holy Spirit dwells. We pray we learn how to walk after the Spirit, but we thank you that we belong to you and don't have to worry about demons, devils, evil spirits, unclean spirits entering into us. They can perhaps influence us from the outside, but they can't possess us. So, Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Ghost that's given to us the moment we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. Bring us back next week and help us to glean truths as we realize that humans and physical things are not the only things in this universe and even in this earth. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.